Welcome to this message on South Haven's podcast from South Haven Church with the purpose of inviting people to find hope in Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Mike, and I'm inviting you to check us out at southhavenchurch.org. This message and other messages can be found on our website or on our South Haven Church app for iOS and Android. And now for a message of hope.
This time of year brings about a different aspect of, or different emotions from individuals. Actually, this season that we're running into, Thanksgiving and with Christmas, for some it's a quite discouraging season. There's a memory that just lands in your heart and mind that makes it to where you just say, if I can just get through the next 5 or 6 weeks, I'll be really good. And it becomes a discouraging time. There's other times it's, there's an opposite end of the spectrum where it's quite euphoric. It's just a delightful time. It's an enjoyable time. And, you know, and there's always somewhere in between all the gatherings and the celebrations and all the things that go along with Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm not sure where you land in the midst of that. And it could be that you're thinking about the person that's not going to be there this week or in coming as you meet for Christmas. Are you just thinking about the event or the thing that happened in some time past that just comes flooding back to you right now? Or it may very well be that you're just kind of anxious to get through it and you've got lots of burdens right now and you're trying to navigate through all of this to get through those burdens so that you can at least enjoy this time of year. Regardless of where you are on that spectrum, I want you to be reminded of a consistent truth. God has not abandoned you. And regardless of how you approach these seasons, you don't go through them alone. There's a God of love. There's a God of hope, a God of purpose and encouragement. There is a reason throughout the scriptures that we're reminded of what to do in these times. Cast all your cares, worries, anxiousness, everything you've got on Him. He cares for you. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What does it remind us of? We're not alone. We're not alone. I want to call upon the God who accompanies us through life right now on your behalf. And I'm going to invite you to pray with me right now. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we look to you. We look to you right now at this moment and just claiming a promise that you're with us always. Claiming a promise, Father, that we know that you're with us. Claiming a promise, Father, that we do not need to despair, that you're aware of our situation. You're aware of where we are in life, whatever our mental state may be, our physical state may be, whatever it may be, Father, that you're aware. Father, may we then find the comfort and the encouragement to lean in and on you. May we look to you, Father, and us know that you're not giving up on us, that you're not abandoning us, and that you're carrying us when we can't carry ourselves. And that's exactly where you want us to be. So, Father, we thank you for these seasons of celebration. The season of Thanksgiving where we can look to you and be thankful. The season, Father, that's coming quickly with Christmas. We're thankful, Father, that we celebrate the birth of Christ. And we're thankful, Father, that in the midst of everything that we'll be encountering is your very presence. We rest in that. We receive it. And we're grateful for who you are. Father, in these coming moments, you have a word for us. And we just ask that the wonderful word of God would just speak incredible things into our hearts and lives, Father, and that we even give you the freedom to say so much more than what I've got to say. And we look forward to how you're going to take this word and move it in the hearts and lives of your people so they become closer to you. Now, Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. We claim you, know you as our rock and as our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Very good. We welcome those that are streaming with us on Facebook Live. We're grateful that you're able to tune in right now at this moment and be a part of the worship service at South Haven. And we're so glad that you made it here in physical presence as well. And so thankful that we can spend this time together and see what God has in store for us through His Word. As we approach Thanksgiving Day, and if you really do think about it, you have a lot to be thankful for. We all have a lot to be thankful for. It becomes a opportunity to make Thanksgiving, and that's kind of where we're going. This and make it habitual, to make it a habit. And I hope we can discover that today as we look through God's Word and how that is possible. I've got a book, or a lady by the name of, you might have read the book, her name is Ann Voskamp, and she has written a book entitled 1,000 Gifts. And in the book, she talks about having been challenged by a friend to write down 1,000 things that she loves. Doesn't that sound amazing? That sounds quite an exercise, doesn't it? It kind of forces you to be thankful of those things. So she began to thank God just for those ordinary things that God had given her. Upon her list, somewhere in there, made a little inscription that says, jam on bread. There you go. It's a little thing. Warm wool sweater. The crackle of a fireplace. I started a list. I started to say, wow, I kind of accepted the challenge just based on this book. And you start writing those things down. And what it does for you is it just forces you to be thankful for the things that we tend to take for granted. The little things. Because you know what? There's a lot of people in our world that would rather just want a piece of bread, let alone have any jam on it, right? They desire a warm sweater or even the warmth of a fireplace. They don't have those things, and it helps us to kind of put those things in perspective, and it just reminds us that if we're not careful, we can miss the good things of God that's before us because we desire something else. It's like the man who came home for dinner one night and is walked in there and noticed that dinner was on the table, and he walks into the table, and he's ready to sit down for a wonderful meal his wife had prepared, and he looks down at the meal, and what he sees all on the table is a meatless meal. Okay? Meatless. Okay, that doesn't resonate with much of you, I don't know, but there's no chicken, there's no ham, there's no beef. I'm just telling you right now. It's all veggies, okay? And so he looks over this table spread of these colorful steamed vegetables, and he looks at his wife and he says, well, sweetie, I said, you better ask the blessing tonight. If I do it, God will know I'm lying. And so, you know, sometimes you just got to be careful of what we're thankful for. Careful of what we're not thankful for. Do you realize that there's people, and I'm not sure how they get resourced or anything, I'm sure it's our tax dollars, are paid to research people's attitude of gratitude, you know, their thankfulness. So, you know, we don't want to think about that too much on how they're getting resourced. But actually, they're doing clinical trials about thankfulness. And this is actually a recent study I just read. And here's what they're finding, is that having this thankful spirit, thankful heart, thankful attitude, not only makes you feel better as a person, but they're saying actually that it makes you a better person physically. Oh, wow. So here, this is quite interesting, is that if you practice thankfulness or gratitude, that it eventually lowers your blood pressure. Wow. I found that amazing. It improves your immune system, reduces fatigue, and helps you have a better night's sleep. I think I probably hit every one of you. Some of you got all those, and some of you got one or two. And there it is. Here's your prescription. Just be more thankful. There you go. Just be thankful and just dig in there. See what happens. Actually, they're saying it's a thing. Actually, they're saying being thankful is the opposite, has the opposite effect of stress. It reduces the stress factor in our lives. Interesting. Thankfulness does that. So it seems like to me that being thankful and having that attitude of that gratitude that comes from the heart, then ought to be something that's habitual. It ought to be a habit that we have, something we do often. I find in the Bible it kind of reminds us of that. The psalmist was writing Psalm 107, and it's a psalm of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for His unfailing goodness and faithfulness in His life and in the people's life. And it's a good view of how thanksgiving can be habitual. The psalm, the first verse opens with thanksgiving. It's interesting. And then we find verses scattered throughout there, and it's the same repeated verse that reminds us of thanksgiving. And so here we go. Psalm 107, beginning with verse 1. Here's how it reads right off the top. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wonderful works for all of humanity. So this is where it begins. And then the psalmist launches into these all these things of how God has been faithful to his people. And then he comes back, and then verse 8, he says this. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wonderful works for all humanity. And he begins to talk, describe all the good things that God has done there. But he's not done, because he comes back in verse 15 and he says the same thing. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wonderful works for all humanity. But it's interesting that the psalmist isn't done there, because he does the same thing in verse 21. And he does the same thing in verse 31. And so we have five verses, four of them repeating the same thing, reminding us over and over again. It's as if the psalmist was saying is that all these things, I'm just being thankful for what God has done over and over again, as it reminds us that we need to be habitual in our thanksgiving, to be thankful. It's kind of easy to move past Thanksgiving. It's almost like we're programmed to move past Thanksgiving. When Christmas decorations go up around Halloween, or before, you know what? We're looking past Thanksgiving. And so it's, and I understand, you know, the birth of Christ, you know, in our Christian world is the that significant event. And so Thanksgiving is not even a biblical holiday. It's just one we created. But at the same time, it is a moment that we pause to be thankful for what God has done. You know, we are programmed to look past that. You know, did you know that The Grinch Who Stole Christmas was on TV last night? We haven't hit Thanksgiving yet. You know what? It's a Wonderful Life showed 1 week ago. So we're already just like moving on to Christmas and getting beyond Thanksgiving. So what makes it habitual? I want us to explore that for just a moment. What it requires, what happens to make Thanksgiving a habit for you and me? Well, here's the first thing you need to know is that giving thanks to God requires practice. Now, you might have not have thought about having to practice being thankful. But that old adage, you remember that adage? That's still true today. Practice makes perfect. Do you realize that's not just for the athlete? That's just not for the one who stands on stage as an actress, you know, perfecting her lines. That's not for the one that picks up an instrument and tries to learn that instrument and that craft. But it's a reason. You know what? You practice does make perfect. And anything that we do, even being thankful for what God has given us, takes practice. We've got to practice that. It almost sounds like, well, that's almost like too rote. It's too rehearsed. It's too much. Well, there's a reason that I had to do, Amy and I had to do this to our kids, and you probably had to do it to your kids, is that whenever someone handed them something and gave them a gift or gave them something, and they just stood there with this in their hands, I had to look at them, or Amy would look at them and say this, "What do you say?" "Oh, thank you." Well, there's a reason I had to tell my kids, "What do you say?" Because thankfulness wasn't habitual in their lives, and they were coming at that. Did you know that my kids and your kids were naturally selfish? It's just the way it's gone. It comes with the package. That's the reason you don't teach them. A lack of thankfulness that brought some surprise and even I would say disappointment to Jesus one day. Y'all recall the story? It usually emerges this time of year out of the book of Luke chapter 17. You've got 10 leprous men who are going along. They call out to Jesus, "Heal us, Jesus." And Jesus heals them from afar, tells them what to do. And he heals them. You remember the whole story. But in the midst of that is a thankful message for us this morning. Here, Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. Let's look at that for just a moment, because it really helps us to understand the practical and the practice of thanksgiving. In verse 11, in the book of Luke chapter 17, verse 11, here it is. While traveling to Jerusalem, Jesus passed between Samaria and Galilee. He entered a village. 10 men with serious skin diseases met him. And they stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And while they were going, they were healed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God, and he fell face down at his feet, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan. And this is where the surprise came in. Because verse 17, Jesus asks three questions in succession about this whole story. Here's what he asks. He asks the first question, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Second question, "Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" What is it? Can you not hear the kind of a perplexed and a little disappointment in the voice of our Lord? Here's what we find. Consider what they had been healed from. You know, they were forbidden to go into their villages. They couldn't even go to their hometowns. They couldn't go into their homes. They no longer could work their jobs. They could not embrace, hug their children. They were total outcasts. And all of a sudden, instantaneously, from afar, Jesus takes care of this whole situation, their physical situation. And in their joy, they begin to run home, completely healed. But only one considered the source of the blessing and came back to thank Jesus. You know, of all the things that maybe our lives maybe disappoint the Lord in some way, ingratitude shouldn't be one of those things. We should be such a grateful people for how he has loved us and how he has saved us and what he has given us and what he provides for us and how he lives within us and guides us. Thankful. Takes practice. Thankfulness means we need to work on it and do it continually. Several years ago, actually it was in 1988, there was a Polish railway worker by the name of Jan Grzebinski. This railway worker was once hit by a train, and he was in a coma. 19 years. Can you imagine? 19 years. In 2007, he awakened from his coma. And he found himself in a world he didn't recognize. I want you to imagine the world in which he went into his coma 19 years earlier. Poland was a communist state, and Grzebinski noted that back then meat was rationed. There were long lines at the gas stations, and there was only like tea and vinegar in the shops. Everything was pretty rough and pretty destitute. He says, "But I awakened into a free nation, where there were people on the streets using their cell phones and the shops were full of food that make so much that make your head spin." And then, as he was contemplating all this, he said this. He goes, "What amazes me is all these people walk around with their cell phones and have all that is available to them, and they never stop complaining." What an insight. You know, a little story reminds us today. If you don't get in the habit of thanking God for what you do have, you soon become ungrateful for what you don't have. So we just be in the habit, maybe get in the habit of saying, "God, I thank you for what I do have," instead of being ungrateful for what I don't have. I believe we can start moving in that direction, and that's the practice of Thanksgiving, is that it allows us then to move and make it more habitual. Giving thanks to the Lord, giving thanks to God requires some practice. There's a second thing we're reminded of here, and giving thanks to God looks past circumstances. Looks past circumstances. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 how our giving thanks in all circumstances is actually God's will. Looks at this verse, how this is God's will for your life. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Did you know that having a thankful heart and a thankful spirit is actually God's will for your life, to be thankful? That's how much he cares for it. The reason this is important is a lot of times we don't have true clarity on the circumstances of life and what God's doing, and we don't have any certainty in what's happening. But here it reminds us this, is that regardless of what we're going through, There's an opportunity to say, God, I'm thankful for who you are. I'm thankful that I'm going through something here. I'm thankful that you're with me as I go through this. I'm thankful that you're teaching me as I go through this. I'm thankful that you haven't abandoned me as I go through this. When we focus on circumstances instead of looking past them and focusing on God, you ultimately will always end up in despair in some capacity. Giving thanks has to look past circumstances. You know, there are some things I just don't want to be thankful for. Some things, actually, it is painful to utter the words as I want to be thankful for certain circumstances. But I come back to those notions and those times and say, God, I'm thankful that you're still there and you're still with me. And I can't make sense of this, but I'm thankful that you're still with me and that you're going to teach me and leading me through this. Past circumstances. You might be familiar with some of these historical individuals that were just had strong faith in the Lord from decades ago. There's one in particular that keeps kind of that always comes around that has so much depth and teaching that always need their stories always need to be shared. And one of those you might be familiar with, the Christian lady by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. So now Corrie Ten Boom, what would we know her for? She was a She and her family harbored Jews in their home during World War II. Eventually, they were found out by the Germans and sent to a concentration camp for doing such things. And they landed in the concentration camp called Ravensbrück. And so there they are in this concentration camp. And Corrie and her sister Betsy were housed together. And they were in a barracks that was extremely crowded. You can imagine the condition. So extremely crowded. The conditions were horrible. And on top of that, they had a horrible flea infestation. So this just sounds so on top of everything that you're in prison in a concentration camp that's crowded. You have no resources. You have very little food. It's cold or whatever. And you've got these fleas. One morning, though, these ladies are believers. And they were able to have the scriptures, they came across 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in everything. So Betsy looks at her sister Corrie, and she goes, Corrie, we've got to thank God for these barracks and for these fleas. And Corrie protested. She says, I'm not thanking God for fleas. So what are you thinking? This is crazy. And so they continued to meditate on this passage of scripture, and ultimately Corrie came back and said, okay, let's thank God for fleas. Well, it was during the months that followed, they found that their barracks were left relatively free from any of the guards. You know what it allowed them to do? They allowed them to have Bible studies among all those prisoners in that barracks. They had prayer meetings. And they were able to converse, and they were able to encourage one another, and they had all this time, and the guards stayed away. And it wasn't until months later that they realized, and they found out that the guards stayed away from the barracks simply because the barracks was infested with fleas. So such as a little pest of a flea brought about something good in their lives. To make Thanksgiving a habit, we look past circumstances and keep focused on the Lord who loves us. And though we don't understand, and it may be several months or several years down the road before you say, I'm not making sense of this, God, but I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that you love me, and I'm thankful that you're with me, and I'm thankful for the things that I do have. Thankful. It's a process of making Thanksgiving a habit. It takes some practice. And in the midst of practicing that, we got to look past circumstances and not say my circumstances are not going to dictate my thankfulness and the gratitude of my life for what Jesus and God has done for me. And then there's a third thing that helps us in habitual thanksgiving. He just reminds us that giving thanks to God is a choice. Not only does it take practice, not only does it look past its circumstances, but giving thanks to God is a choice. Sometimes we might want to get the impression that thankfulness is a spiritual gift. And some people have it and some people don't. I just don't have that. I'm glad you're thankful. Be more thankful for me because I don't have that gift. But actually, that's so untrue. Just having a Thanksgiving, being thankful is just a choice that we make. I'm going to choose to be thankful or I'm going to choose not to be thankful. you spend much time in the minor prophets, those 12 minor prophets we find in the right before the New Testament, there's a book there called it's the book of Habakkuk. And so in the book of Habakkuk, we find that the prophet Habakkuk is waiting the destruction. He sees the enemy invading his country. It's actually being invaded by the Chaldeans, and he knows that their attack is imminent, and he knows that this is going to be destruction for his nation, and he chooses to be thankful in the midst of that. Listen to these words. He writes these words in Habakkuk chapter 3. Listen, this is in his context. Understand, though the fig tree does not bud and there's no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, and though there's no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will triumph in Yahweh, and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. He's making a choice. He says, though all these things are not in place, I'm going to choose to be thankful and grateful for who God is. You know what I find that being thankful in such things and making thankfulness a choice is that choosing to be thankful creates opportunities. I want you to hear this. What kind of opportunities? A thankful heart, a thankful spirit creates opportunities. Do you realize it's just an opportunity to glorify God for who He is and what He's done? It's an opportunity. A thankful spirit, the gratitude of who He is, is bringing Him glory. Choosing to be thankful is an opportunity to put life into perspective. Doesn't it help us to put things in perspective sometimes? Sometimes we can bemoan where we are, but you know, it just helps us to see that. Here, thirdly, it's an opportunity to look past circumstances and realize God is bigger than the challenges I'm facing. I'm going to look past that, God. I'm going to claim you. I know you, that you're bigger than this challenge. You're bigger than this. And you can take care of this. Having a thankful spirit is an opportunity to complain less and praise more. It's an opportunity to be reminded that there's someone in this world that has it more difficult than you. Choosing to be thankful is an opportunity to keep your heart and mind on Jesus. Do you not find that that happens? Oh, God, I'm thankful. You know what? That's the one of the reasons I love, you know, I've said this before, I've taught through this before, maybe this is new to you, but it's the very reason that the ACTS method of praying is real important, and it should be important to you. ACTS is an acronym. What does that mean? Adoration. I start with praise. I'm going to praise for who you are. C, I'm going to confess my sins. T, I'm going to be thankful for so many things. I start to thank God. What's the S? You end, it's called supplication. It means you bring your petitions before Him. That's the last thing you do. But in the middle, do you know why I love that? Because I need the reminder to adore and praise Him, to always confess my sins, and to be thankful for all the things that He has given me. And then lastly, I get to bring the stuffs and the burdens of my heart before Him. It's an opportunity to keep your heart and mind focused on Jesus. That's what Thanksgiving does. It keeps my mind on Him. And then lastly, it's an opportunity to cultivate a grateful heart. That's just a great thing. It's the cultivation of a grateful heart. It's a choice. There's an old Bible scholar. Some of you, he's still got good commentaries out there. Some of you Sunday school teachers may be using him. His name is Matthew Henry. And I just think in a beautiful way, he helps us see how to choose to be thankful. You might have heard this story before, but it's so appropriate. So Matthew Henry, one day, he was attacked by thieves and he was robbed of his money. So that's a pretty desperate day. That's not a good day. So after the ordeal, he wrote these words in his diary. Here's what he said. Let me be thankful. Who would write that? Right after all their money has been stolen. For he said, let me be thankful. First, that I was never robbed before. So I don't have a whole history of this. It's just happened this one time. Second, although they took my money, they didn't take my life. Thankful. Third, although they took my all, it wasn't much. And then lastly, he wrote this, fourth, let me be thankful, because it was I who was robbed and not I who did the robbing. Isn't that good? He's just making a choice. He said, Daddy, I'm gonna look for a way, and I'm going to make this a habit. I'm going to choose to be thankful. I'm going to make it a choice. When we make it a choice and we start practicing it, and when we even look past our circumstances, you know what we're going to find? It becomes habitual. It becomes habitual. And I can thank God in so many things. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Colossae, Colossians 3, verse 17. Listen to what he says. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Every step of the way. Whatever it may be, the most mundane things, the things we take for granted, God, I'm thanking you for those things. It's having a habit. I'm gonna give you some. I'm gonna give you a nudge in being thankful today. I'm gonna help you get started. So, in your bulletin on the sermon notes page, on the back side of that, if you're not following in notes, that's fine. But I want you to know that's in there. Sermon notes page on the back side, you'll see 10 blanks. 10 things you're thankful for. I'm just gonna encourage you. You could do that even if you really quickly in the next. I bet some of you write pretty fast. You can, in the next minute, you could write down 10 things you're thankful for. It wouldn't take long. Some of you have already done it. You know what? Consider those the first 10 of the 1,000 you're going to do, that you get your notepad out and begin to write those things down. You know, what do you write down? You write down individuals. You write down family members. You write down coworkers, teachers, friends. What do you write down? You write down experiences, your church, your work, or whatever it may be. You know what you conclude in there? Some suffering. How do you be thankful for that? Some things. Because God, I know you're with me. God, you haven't abandoned me. God, you're seeing me. God, you're teaching me. God, you're leading me through this. You're growing me. What do you write? Small gifts. Text message, a phone call, a note, a card. Something tangible. You can write that down. Do you know what the staff gets the blessing of? Is in through the month of October, you just give us cards and write personal notes in there. Do you realize the delight it is to us to open up a card and see a handwritten note of encouragement? Do you know that a lot of those make into encouragement files that I know I keep, and I'm sure the other staff does, just because it hit at a moment when we just were thought of? Do you realize those are things? I'm thankful for those types of things. I'm thankful for you for taking the time to buy a card, write a note, and just give it. That's huge. Little things. Just thankful. And don't forget the life-changing things to be thankful for. Salvation. Jesus dying on the cross. Spiritual insight. Increased faith. Joy. In the journey, Holy Spirit to guide you. Right now, you probably could rip off 50 different things if you just take all those categories and begin to write what you're thankful for. Filling in 10 simple blanks is practicing Thanksgiving. It's making it a habit. It's being thankful beyond circumstances, and it's choosing to be thankful. And this is the start of a habit. May it carry you through Thursday, and may it carry you through December, and may it be a foundation that carries you through into 2020. Let's be thankful. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to our message from South Haven Church. If something from this message stuck out to you, you have a question or need prayer, please email our South Haven pastoral leaders at hope@southhavenchurch.org. South Haven Church exists for the purpose of inviting people to find hope in Jesus Christ. You can find us on the web at southhavenchurch.org or join us in person at our main campus located at 16,800 Bellray Boulevard in Belton, Missouri. Till next time.